broadcasting once again from our studio in the UICA, and glad to be here and able to bring you the broadcast here on 1340 WJRW for Sound Off West Michigan. I'm Dave Jackanet, and a full slate from Art Prize today, the first full day of Art Prize. People have already started voting, and the crowds are evident in downtown Grand Rapids. I noticed that last night as I went to a couple of different receptions and was able to walk through downtown, and you see the foot traffic is up, and that's going to be the case, and of course it will build on the weekends. We'll have some timely tips from the Grand Rapids Police regarding that coming up later in the show. We'll also talk with an Art Prize artist whose work is called Protect and Serve, and that person's name is Andrew Woodstock. We'll talk with him coming up after the news at 11:35 or so, and we'll also talk with some folks we're down here at the UICA, the Urban Institute for Contemporary Arts. They've got a lot going on, including some education programs and kind of a poetry slam. We'll find out about that at 11:45. And like I said, went to a couple of great receptions last night, and as we made our way from place to place, you could see that if you had a rooftop and access to a rooftop deck, something like that, a party was taking place, and it was just nice to see what Art Prize has become now in its eighth year, as people embrace the concept, they want to be a part of it, they want to help make it work, and so it's fun to see that on the opening night. All right, we are happy. We're gonna get away from Art Prize for just a bit with our first guest. But it certainly is an art, the practice of medicine and specialty like orthopedics. And we have in our studio Dr. Carl Wierks. He's the newest partner at West Michigan Orthopedics, and he specializes in hip arthroscopy. And we'll talk about what that is and why it's useful. And Dr. Wierks has kind of some interesting things in his background. He's been associated with the U.S. snowboarding team. Is that correct, Doctor?
That's right, Dave.
That's very cool. And you've also helped out, I guess, with the Baltimore Orioles, because you did some time at Johns Hopkins, that world-renowned medical facility. And you must be a sports fan.
Yeah, I love sports. Grew up playing sports and still a sports fan. And I think that's part of the reason I'm doing what I'm doing today.
Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, when I talk to doctors for any length of time, I like to know, when did you know you wanted to be a doctor? And sometimes it's, you know, but they think before college, usually sometime in college at the latest. But I've talked to some people who knew they wanted to be doctors when they were 5 years old.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah, I grew into the whole process, and at first it seemed a little intimidating to me, and I was looking at doing another career, actually in the career of physical therapy, mm-hmm. and I still work very closely with physical therapists to this day, but the more I learned about medicine, the more I realized that that's what I wanted to do, and I really honed my focus into sports medicine and trying to get people doing the kinds of athletics and sports that they love to do.
Okay, and we're talking about people that compete at the highest levels, yep. But also there's probably a lot of weekend warriors or people who like to participate in all kinds of sports activities, even as they age out of, you know, hyper-competitive sports, right?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, my typical day is I'm seeing anybody age range from high school athletes all the way to, you know, active people who are retirement age and just want to keep playing sports and doing tennis and golf and that kind of thing.
Okay, very yeah. cool. You're the newest partner at West Michigan Orthopedics. Partner means they like you, you like them, and everybody's sharing in that process, directing the medical group and so on, right?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I'm fortunate. I have two great partners, Carl Roberts, Pat Zietz, and, you know, the thing that really, I think, makes a difference with our patient population is I think we have the best staff around, so mm-hmm. they're fantastic and make every patient visit awesome.
Very cool. Tell me about a typical patient for you guys at West Michigan Orthopedics.
You know, my focus is really with the hip pain, mm-hmm. And it tends to be hip pain in active people, and my area of specialty is just doing like hip arthroscopy, like you mentioned in the beginning, mm-hmm. and that's a minimally invasive way to treat hip pain in people without hip arthritis.
So, and what does it do? Tell us about that procedure, and we'll talk about arthritis in a second.
Yeah, sure. So the hip arthroscopy itself is, like I said, minimally invasive. So it's just two little poke holes in the hip, mm-hmm. as opposed to doing a big surgical exposure with a long recovery time. Mm-hmm. So the goal of the surgery is to get somebody who's having hip pain and isn't able to do what they want to do or having pain on a daily basis back to doing sports or being active. And usually we can do that, like I said, two little nick incisions. It's an outpatient surgery. So you go home the same day, start physical therapy the next day, and then usually within 3 or 4 months, you're back to doing everything that you want to do.
Okay, and what are you doing in those little holes? I mean, arthroscopy, so I'm assuming there's a camera of some kind, or so there's a way to look in there, right?
Right, yeah. Hip arthroscopy is usually aimed at treating like a cartilage tear. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people have had some experience or know somebody who's had like a knee arthroscopy or knee scope or shoulder scope. This is similar in nature in the fact that we're trying to repair some cartilage tears that are pain generators.
Okay. And let's talk about the addition of arthritis, if that's in the mix.
Yeah, so arthritis is kind of a different animal, and hip arthroscopy isn't very good at treating arthritis. So if somebody goes on and they have a really arthritic hip joint, then they need a hip replacement. And that's a service that I offer as well.
And how are hip replacements these days?
You know, they're getting better and better, both as the technology advances and we're getting more minimally invasive. There's a few different surgical approaches, and my preferred approach is what we call through the front or anterior approach. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to get people home within a day or two of their surgery and get them walking right away. Uh-huh. And one of the nice advantages of the hip replacement these days is the implants are so stable, people can walk on them right away.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the things that you've done in your history. And we talked about snowboarding, the U.S. snowboarding team. Tell me about that and what these athletes are like.
Yeah, I mean, they're great. They're great athletes. I think that one of the things that surprised me the most when I started working with them is how young they are.
Right.
You know, to me, they seem like kids, and then they're launching themselves off these huge jumps, going 30, 40 feet in the air and seemingly fearless.
Are they in their 20s, or is anybody younger
than 20? They're often younger than 20. So a lot of times they're high school age or like what we consider, you know, young 20s. Uh-huh. And they're taking time out of school and life and doing tutors or taking classes online to pursue, you know, these extreme sports. And, you know, they're inspiring. I'm an avid snowboarder myself, but I will not go off these jumps that these athletes are doing, you know, and they do it day in and day out. And it's really impressive to see the athleticism and the courage that they display doing that.
When you're that young, you feel probably indestructible.
Yeah.
If I can remember that far back, and it's tough. But so they're not dealing with fears like you or I would be, right?
Well, if they do, they hide them a lot better than I would, you know. And accidents do happen, and unfortunately, I see that side of things. And for the most part, you know, they land well and they know how to handle their bodies. But you know, at these extreme speeds and forces of impact, accidents and injuries do occur.
And are they well conditioned all the way through? I mean, they must have great core muscles and everything else. Right?
Yeah. They certainly will spend on a typical trip when I'm with them. They'll usually spend about a half a day or two thirds of a day on slope training, uh-huh. and then there's usually some dry land training that they'll do as well for strengthening and conditioning. So it's a full time sport for them. A lot of these athletes are traveling 8 to 9 months out of the year. A lot of the time is international travel, mm-hmm. And so it's a commitment for them.
And what's it like for a physician who's involved with the team?
Well, it's a huge honor for me to be a part of the team, and the teams have always been very welcoming for me. There is a pool of physicians because it's really too much for one physician to take care of, mm-hmm. Not only one team, but there are, there's snowboard teams, ski teams, and so we have this pool of physicians that's willing to, you know, volunteer our time, but just an honor to be a part of, you know, seeing what they do, and they've always been very welcoming to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you name drop a little bit? Did you work with the, you know, what the, they call them, the Flying Tomato?
Yeah. He's on the team, and he's somewhat of he does his own thing to some extent. Mm-hmm. You know, he has his own coach and his own training facility and that kind of thing. But okay. I've certainly covered him on some of the competitions.
Who else would you say, and is the, I don't even know this, is the United States far and away the best team in the world, or are there must be other teams that are really, really great. Right?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, the United States has far away been the best team in the world. And, you know, as the sport has evolved over time, we've seen other emerging countries like Canada and even France with just some phenomenal athletes that are consistently front runners, not only Olympics and X Games, but some of the Grand Prix events that are international. Mm-hmm. And so the sport, you know, I've been involved with the U.S. ski and snowboard teams for about 6 years now, and I've seen the sport evolve even in that time, where jumps are getting higher, the gaps between the jumps are spaced farther apart, and the speeds are faster, and these athletes just keep pushing the envelope. You know, doing three rotations now and throwing in one or two twists is not uncommon.
Well, as I was watching the summer games, I was struck by, you know, occasionally they'd show some footage from Olympics 20 years back, 30 years back, 40 years back. The athletes are better now, and they do push themselves with what might be an acceptable routine 30 years ago is not now because these athletes have pushed the envelope so hard.
Right. They're pushing it, and the athletes are getting younger and younger. You know, so some of the top athletes now coming out of, like, even Japan, you know, 16-year-old half-pipe snowboarders are in a medal competition.
And what does that do medically? The younger you are, you could still be growing, right?
Right, yeah. Some of the growth plates are open, and then, you know, always a hot topic is, you know, concussion and role of concussion. And, mm-hmm. you know, they all wear helmets, but one of the trips I was on, the athlete actually cracked through his helmet. So I've seen the concussions. I've had to treat those, and it's definitely a problem, particularly in the younger athletes, where their brains are more susceptible to that kind of injury.
Right. And is there now a concussion protocol like we see in other sports?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a baseline screening test that you take online that you'd have to pass again at a certain level to be cleared.
Mm-hmm. Is snowboarding a seasonal thing? Obviously, it's a winter thing. You need snow, but you can go around the globe. So does it go on year-round?
It does. They have training camps like in Australia, New Zealand, and Argentina. And then they'll train in Mount Hood, too, in the glacier in Mount Hood in early season to get ready for the season.
Talk about your experiences with the Baltimore Orioles. What was that like, and what was your role?
Yeah, that was really cool. I did that during my residency for 2 years, and part of the team physician, so I'd cover some of their home games. And we'd go down into the kind of the under the stadium area, into the team area beforehand, touch base with their team physician and examine any athletes and get updated on their injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we kind of cover the medical side of things, we'd usually have some time to go into the bullpen, watch batting practice
mm-hmm.
Before the game started. And then we'd sit, you know, close to the field and just be aware of any athletes getting injured. And, you know, it definitely changes your perspective watching a baseball game when you have to be on point and know that you're on call anytime somebody suffers an injury.
Right. Any of the Baltimore Oriole players that were active then still active now?
Yeah, there are a few. I mean, that was several years ago. And, you know, fortunately, the team's doing very well. But I was lucky to be involved with the team.
Okay. Do you have a favorite sport?
I do. You know, right now, actively, I'd say it's snowboarding, mm-hmm. you know, and I grew up playing soccer, and I have my kids in soccer now, so that's something that I'd still love to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. For those of us who learned to go down mountains on skis, snowboarding always looks intimidating to me because you're going to spend at least a half a day on your rear end, right?
Right.
Learning how to do it.
Yeah, and I went through that painful transition myself. I grew up skiing up from upstate New York originally. And it was about 7 years ago I learned snowboarding, and it definitely took me 2 or 3 days just to get my balance.
Uh-huh.
You know, my advice would be just, you know, start young if you can.
Right. Okay. I'm staying on two boards.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. If people are interested, what's your website over there at West Michigan Orthopedics?
Yeah, it's wmortho.net.
Okay. All right. Very good. Carl Wierks, Dr. Carl Wierks, the newest partner at West Michigan Orthopedics. Thank you so much for coming in. Enjoy some art prize with your family over the next couple of weeks, and thanks for stopping by our studio.
Great. Thank you for having me, Dave.
You bet. This is News Talk 1340 WJRW. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment. It's 11:20 on 1340.